All right, we've got an election a week from today. Joining me today will be Ben Mansky. He's the Green Party candidate for the 77th Assembly District. And this is the best local race, the most interesting local race, because whenever you divide up lefties, it becomes a family feud and it becomes personal. Right? Would you agree? This is a grudge match to the finish.
Well, it's a very exciting campaign, and we have hundreds of volunteers literally at this point who are working hard because they see the opportunity to make history, to change what's going on in the state capitol, to get beyond parties. I mean, what we're facing in Wisconsin right now is beyond parties. In a lot of ways, it's even beyond ideology. There's places where we might agree with on principle, but in the end, when you look at what's happening in education, where you're looking at K through 12, looking at the cuts that have been hitting young people so hard, it's really necessary to move beyond parties and to get some real change in the state capitol.
All right. Your opponent says he likes to put progress back in progressive, that in order to get something done, you got to cut deals.
Deals will come out of the political process, right? There's other interests in there. The question is, when you go in to the state capitol building, and you're looking at a Scott Walker or even a Tom Barrett who's saying, either gleefully in the case of Scott Walker, that he's going to cut corporate income tax. You were just telling me earlier, Sly, that he wants to get rid of the corporate income tax entirely. Or, you know, a Tom Barrett or even my opponent who says some cuts are going to be necessary. When you're going into
Think we're going to have to cut some spending to balance the budget.
Yeah, but I want to cut spending that's actually policies that are already harmful. For example, in Wisconsin, we spend twice as much on prisons as they do in the neighboring state of Minnesota. And, you know, Minnesota is just like Wisconsin. Almost any indicator you look at, whether it's in terms of crime rates, you look at the population, you look at the diversity, you look at us culturally, we got a lot in common. There's no state we have more in common with than Minnesota. They spend half as much on prisons. And our prison policy in Wisconsin is very destructive socially. You look at people returning to prisons in terms of recidivism, right?
Want to let criminals out.
What I want to do is I want to do what Minnesota's doing. And I want to make sure that we have a policy in Wisconsin that's smart and is not subsidizing these, the prison industry, and instead is taking the money and putting it into important services like public education, fire, other services.
So you're talking about throwing correctional officers out of their jobs? Now, I know you didn't get AFSCME's endorsement.
look, the reality is we have to be smart about the state budget process. And we have to go in there, and you're not smart if you go in there and the first thing you do is you say, let's cut a deal with WMC. By the way, I don't know if you've introduced me yet.
Oh, I guess why.
Now you notice here, Sly is coming out firing.
Ben Mansky is with us. He is, of course. No, I did. I did say
did
the.
You?
I, yeah, I said
all
the
right.
Green Party. You're the Green Party candidate. Maybe
yes.
I didn't say your name.
There we go.
All right. Ben Mansky.
VoteMansky.com.
Okay. You want to spell that?
Sure.
Okay.
M-A-N-S-K-I. It's with an I.
And my producer's supporting you.
There we go.
Now, the other thing your opponent says is that you just moved into the district, that you're a carpetbagger.
My opponent is a carpetbagger from Oklahoma. And here's the deal.
Now, wait a minute. How long has he lived here?
Oh, look, come on. Are we going to talk issues? I'll tell you, listeners, my opponent was invited in here to debate me, and he refused to do it. And last time I came in, and then the next day, he got to come on and respond to everything I said. Now, I understand he wants to come in tomorrow and respond. Now, if that guy can't come in here to debate me on the air, what's he going to do in the state legislature?
Yeah, he should have debated you.
He should have.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and let's talk seriously about what I wanted to do. I was just going to blame that on Dylan that didn't happen. Yeah, you know, and here's the reality about my opponent and what he's doing right now. He wants to talk about everything except for the scale of the problems that we need to address, the policies to address them, right? And, you know, the reality is that I grew up in this district. I lived most of my life in this district. He didn't. He talks about himself as a UW alumnus. He lied about that. Last week on campus, he got up there and he made it sound, if you watch the tape, made it sound like he had graduated from UW-Madison. He didn't. Last week, he put out radio ads all over the town claiming that Congresswoman Tammy Baldwin had endorsed him. She didn't. He had to retract that.
Let
me finish here. He went out there and he told people that Representative Mark Pocan had endorsed him. He didn't. He told folks that Representative Corey Mason had endorsed him. He didn't. So what's going on right now is that my opponent is throwing a lot of things in the air and hoping hoping that it distracts voters because he knows that my campaign has an incredible level of support from students, from voters in the district, and he's very concerned because he was waiting. He was waiting for Representative Black to step down. He was waiting. He announced literally the next day. And this has been his dream, is to have his career in politics. And there's one problem, is that there's something standing between him and his dream, which is that voters want to have somebody represent them who is actually more concerned about their issues and not about their political career.
Ben Maskey with us here on Madison 1670 WTDY. He and Brett Halsey are the two main candidates in the 77th Assembly District, which is the near west side of Madison, all the way out to Middleton. So this race is kind of interesting because it's divided families. I've even seen some homes with both yard signs out in front.
I wouldn't assume those are divided families. What a lot of cases those are is, as I said, Brett, my opponent was out there waiting for Spencer Black to step down. And as soon as that happened, he went out to all the busy streets. Right? If you go in the back streets, it's a different story. He went out to all the busy streets and he asked people to put up his yard sign. That didn't mean they were voting for him. So then later on, they find out, hey, I'm going to have another choice. There's going to be an election on November 2nd. And they decide to put out my yard sign, too. Right? We're not asking anybody to take his signs
well,
down.
Well, I don't know about you, but I would never have two competitive candidates
people
in my
in
front
Madison
yard.
People in Madison are nicer than maybe some of the folks running for office.
Then I'm not very nice. Because Tweefarm Remily put a yard sign on my mother's front yard without asking permission, which was a big mistake.
Yeah, that does
part.
Not make people happy.
All right, so here's a story that our news department did last week.
On the campaign trail and on Sly's show a couple of weeks ago, Maskey has accused Halsey of trying to put words in his mouth.
We sent Sly some things here that he claims that I said.
Did you say Tom Barrett is the lesser of the two evils in the race for governor?
I don't believe that I ever said that.
Not so. The Madison blog Caffeinated Politics Today features a clip of Maskey addressing the South Central Federation of Labor a month ago on the subject of Democrat Tom Barrett.
I'm voting for him. I want to be clear about that. I'm voting for Tom Barrett. He's the lesser evil in this race. My party is not challenging him.
Maskey's critics say it's that kind of brash attitude that would make him ineffective on Capitol Hill. Dustin Weiss, Madison 1670 WTDY.
I've never heard the word evil in Tom Barrett in the same sentence.
No, he's not evil. No, he's a good man, and I did vote for him already, actually. Now, I want to be very clear here. I voted for Tom Barrett, and everybody who is listening should vote for Tom Barrett. And the next part of that clip, and this is what always politicians do, and it's why people get mad at them, is that clip is doctored, so they don't have the last part, which is where I say it's that important that we get him elected. Right? And they cut that out. So the reality is here, I think that Tom Barrett's a good man. I think that it's wrong for him to have attacked public workers early in the campaign to say he's going to put Madison on a diet. I don't think it's a good strategy, honestly. And I also disagree with him on that. Right? But I think it's very important that Tom Barrett win this election next Tuesday.
He will be with us at 8:05 this morning. So you had, and I'm sorry I haven't gotten back to you, life's been a little crazy here, but you said that I had pointed out that you were being dishonest about something last time you were out. You know, this plant that Brett Halsey pushed for in western Wisconsin, Cassville, you have been saying it was exclusively a coal plant, but it wasn't.
It was 98% a coal plant. He was claiming it was 20%. He was claiming it was 20%. Right. And actually, this is not what I'm saying. Okay, so Sly on the air the next day. Again, Brett Halsey doesn't want to talk about this face-to-face, and he certainly doesn't want to talk about it with the environmental policy people who fought him on that plant, right? But you said that I was being dishonest. Now, all I have done is documented, and we have everything sourced, and it's all been reported on the media by journalists who have actually looked into this, right, that what he advocated for, he was paid $192,000, actually almost $193,000, so I need to correct that, in order to lobby on behalf of a plant that would not have had any guarantees of any substantial biomass production. And he was going out there saying it would be 10 to 20% of the energy production at this plant. But the filings from Alliant Energy didn't make that claim.
Yeah, but just because the filings didn't make that claim didn't mean didn't mean that was going to be an all coal plant. It's a very to me, hang on.
This
just
was
a second.
this was a plant that was going to spew billions and billions of tons of pollutants into the atmosphere from coal, which is the number one environmental problem we have in terms of energy generation in the United States.
1670 WTDY, Sly in the Morning. Ben Maskey with us. So What other issues differentiate yourself and Brett Halsey in this race?
Well, I think it's very clear that there's one of us who is really looking at what's happening in higher education and looking at what's happening to younger workers and to students, and who is making this, who has made this his life's work, and that's myself, in terms of looking out for the interests of young people here. Now, what we face right now in the United States is the highest level of student debt in American history, and just a couple of weeks ago, student debt in the United States passed credit card debt. Well, if you're an 18 to 24 year old and you're returning from college, there's an 80% chance that you're going back to live with your parents because you don't have the economic opportunity that the prior generations had. So you don't have, and there's no surprise there. You look at unemployment rates for that age breakdown and also for the next two age cohorts, next sets of people right above that. And you're looking at unemployment, real unemployment, that's nearly 40%, right? So what has essentially happened is that the buck has been passed to young people over the last 30 years. They've been cutting funding for schools. They've been forcing students to take out bigger and bigger loans to pay for the same education that, frankly, people just a little bit older than I had the opportunity to get as sort of a right of being an American. And I've been out there saying, look, we need to reverse this. I will be working to reduce tuition at UW level. I would be doing that by cutting prison spending, by also raising taxes on the wealthiest Wisconsinites, that top 0.5% and the top 5% of Wisconsinites. And we can do that. And unless we do that, what's going to happen is that the economic problems we have right now are going to be as nothing compared to what we face 10 to 15 years from now.
Well, I think there's a variety of things that are happening that are very ominous. I mean, we're losing manufacturing jobs because of. But to me, there are a lot of problems this state has are frankly nothing the state legislature can control. Nothing.
Well, I don't believe that, honestly. I really think there's a lot more that our state government could be doing and should be doing.
Well, no, I'm not saying they shouldn't. Yeah. But does Brett Halsey disagree with you about that?
Yeah, I mean, he's basically said there are going to be cuts. There are going to be further cuts in education funding, which is going to mean there's going to be more passing of the buck to students and to young people. You know, he is not advocating at all on progressive tax reform, which is something when you look again at what's happened, essentially there's been this massive sucking of resources from the middle and the working classes in Wisconsin and nationally since the days of Richard Nixon. So supposedly Nixon and Eisenhower were these conservative presidents.
Yeah, I know this well. I know even under Pat Lucey, we began to shift the burden of taxes onto property taxpayers.
Right.
So you'd like to see school funding completely off the property tax.
That's the ideal, and I will work towards getting there.
And you know that Joe Wienicke and even Joe and Senator Leon years ago tried a referendum to try to change school funding, and it failed, and Republicans fought using the uniformity clause to try to stop any of those changes.
Right.
Now they don't like the uniformity clause because they want to end retirement income taxes.
Yeah, they always want it two ways.
Roger, you're on 1670 WTDY.
Yes, going back to the coal plant, given that we need the energy and the cost constraints of building an energy plant, I'd be curious as to what he would propose.
Absolutely. Well, there's two questions here, and let's be clear. There's the question of what's good energy policy for Wisconsin. I'll take that first, which is, you know, the reality is that we have enormous wealth in Wisconsin in terms of renewables. We are on the edge of one of the strongest wind corridors in the Americas, and we can be not only building those turbines here in Wisconsin in terms of manufacturing jobs and also the component parts for them, and also employing literally thousands of people through installation and also construction and manufacturing in the renewable industry, but we can also be generating that energy here. So that's really where we need to put our energy, no pun intended. The other thing is, in terms of conservation, there's a lot more that can be done. There's a lot of savings that can be had in terms of conservation. And last session in the state legislature, the only reason why we didn't get the Clean Energy Jobs Act through was because you had all these corporate lobbyists from the coal industry and the oil lobby who were in there day in and day out working to undermine this progress that was just complete common sense. It saved us money in the midterm and down the road, and it would have actually moved Wisconsin ahead of the curve in terms of green and clean energy. But the other part of this issue is not really the energy issue at all. It's about truthfulness, which is that, and this has really been the issue. It was raised actually in the primary, and we've been raising it in the general election, and it was raised before there even was a campaign. Several years ago, my opponent, got a contract in which he went around saying that he was a Sierra Club representative, which is not true. He's not with the Sierra Club anymore. And he was paid by the utilities to lobby for this coal plant at Cassville. And he said a lot of things about it that were not not true. They were not things that the utility itself was even claiming in its formal filings with the Public Service Commission. So, you know, that's another question. Whatever you think about coal, and Sly was just telling me he came clean. He said, well, I think we need coal. So that's where Sly's coming from. If you think we need coal, if you think we don't need coal, and coal is killing too many of us, and it's causing problems. Well, it's actually shipping a lot of money out of state because we don't have any coal mines last time I checked in Wisconsin. Regardless of where you come down on that, you want to have somebody in office who is not going to get paid by the interest that's going to make the money off the plant to make claims that are not true on their behalf.
And we will ask him that tomorrow. I am not necessarily opposed to all coal. As a matter of fact, I was in Kentucky earlier this year and helped Daniel Mongiardo, who lost the Senate primary. And, of course, he's from coal country. But he talked about some really interesting ideas with actually burning cars from derivatives from coal. I don't think that we can't wipe out coal in this country.
We need to move as quickly as we can, and I'll tell you why. Because not only are there environmental costs, and then especially in Wisconsin, there's these economic costs. We're essentially exporting all this money out of state that we could be keeping locally. But there are serious human health costs, and we have to pay for that not only directly in terms of providing health care for people who've been poisoned, and not only the folks who are being impacted in terms of fishing from the mercury pollution. That's the number one source of pollution in our lakes that's toxic to people is pollution from coal plants, but also just in terms of the morality of it, which is that we're literally costing tens of thousands of lives each year from burning coal.
The most progressive senators from the upper Great Lakes, Sherrod Brown, Russ Feingold, Al Franken, all opposed provisions of the cap and trade bill because they said it would have unfairly punished states that are heavy in manufacturing and are heavily dependent on coal. Disagree with that?
Well, I agree with Senator Feingold on most things, but not everything. Not everything.
So you disagree with him on that?
Yes.
All right. Let me ask you about this race. So I talked to your opponent yesterday, and he's going to be on tomorrow, but he says that you're getting the majority of your money from outside the district, that you are actually you're kind of a national candidate. Do you think that the majority of the money that you're getting from outside the district, makes you more of a, is your platform more of a national platform or a statewide platform than it is about the 77th district?
Let's be clear. Most of my money is coming from Madison and from South Central Wisconsin. Okay, and the vast majority of my support is coming from there. And if you've been out on the campaign trail and you've seen our volunteers, you know, it's very clear that I have a lot of support.
You've raised most of your money from the district?
No. That's not the case. I don't know whether that's true because we actually have a ton of money that's been coming in, and we've actually had 7 house parties in a period of 9 days in the district. So it may have changed. But the reality is that if you look at the people who are contributing nationally, you know who those people are? They're Madison West High grads. They're UW alum, right? And there's a reason why people around the country would be concerned. They went to school with me, right? They know me. I've been here since 1982, right? As a kid and as an adolescent and as an adult, right? They're concerned about what happens in Madison because they have an affinity for that. Now, my opponent, you know, I can understand why there'd be nobody he went to school with back in Oklahoma who would care about what happens in Madison. But my friends who have gone elsewhere, they still care about this. Now, there's another part of this, right, which is that I've done work at all levels of government in terms of doing advocacy work. And I've actually had a hand in getting legislation through at the local and the state level. There's a number of bills at the state level and also certainly in Dane County and Madison that I've worked on passionately, like living wage and minimum wage ordinances and anti-sweatshop and free speech bills and all kinds of things, the mining moratorium bill. But it is true that if I'm elected, I will immediately be a much higher profile figure than my opponent. He'll just be another Madison Democrat as far as the rest of the state is concerned. And one who, by the way, many progressive Democrats in the state legislature are not supporting in this race, which I think says a lot, right? But that beyond that, I'm going to get in there and I'll have the ability to represent the west side of Madison with a lot more wind at my back. And I think that people, when they're looking for an effective legislator.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. When they're looking for an effective legislator, That's something that's coming into people's minds. Are we going to have this guy who's just going to be another vote who's not able to get anything done in terms of working with not only his own caucus, but with the Republican caucus, right? Or are they going to have somebody who's going to be in there who's a very strong progressive? He's got deep roots in the community. We know where he's coming from, but he's not going to be stuck in the same partisan games that go on between the D's and the R's all the time. So at least the debate will be about policy, and maybe he'll be able to talk to some people who his opponent won't be able to talk to.
So
I work with the Libertarian Party on the National Guard bill. I was invited to speak to their state convention twice, right? So I think I have the ability to do that.
So you don't view yourself as a Don Quixote figure here?
Oh, no. I actually, it's funny that you say that, because we had a little debate out in Middleton yesterday, and I got more of that impression from my opponent. He's not feeling all that hot right now. And no, I think we're going to make some history on November 2nd, and I'm very excited about that.
The story that I read in the Capital Times about the fact that 70% of people in the 77th district just pulled the Democratic lever, you don't think it's...
That wasn't in the Capital Times. That was a blogger.
Was that Isthmus?
It wasn't even Isthmus. It was a blogger for the Daily Page. And actually, that's not even true. But it is true. What is true is that... That is the only advantage that my opponent has over me at this point, right? Because the only thing that could cause him to be elected on Election Day is if people go to the polls, they haven't paid that much attention to the race, and they simply vote based on the party, not on the individual. And what we're really working on doing is educating people about the differences between the two of us, about what's at stake in this election, and about the fact that we really do need to change the political chemistry in the state legislature, and I can do that.
That was Jack Craver from Isthmus. Got Isthmus in
the Daily
Capital
Page.
Times.
And they'll be very careful to correct you on that. They're two different entities.
The Daily Page and Isthmus?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, the Daily Page, which is operated by Isthmus. All right, Ben Mansky, thank you for coming out. I appreciate it this morning. You know, I've always given you a forum, and you will continue to have it.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. I invite listeners to take a look at the rest of the campaign. You know, Sly's got his man in this race. But if you go to votemansky.com, VOTEMANSKI, you'll see why the Capital Times has endorsed me, why Ed Garvey, Peg Lautenschlager, Doug LaFollette, nearly 30 local elected officials, the firefighters, the teachers, the teaching assistants, they've all said, this is not about party. This is about changing politics in Wisconsin.
Thanks for coming up, Ben.
You
appreciate
bet.
It.